Yeah, hey, Lucas Barfield here, and you're tuned into the Cannabis Corner right here on KTAH 101.9 right here in Tacoma, Washington. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. This is a quick show that we do every couple weeks to go over some cannabis headlines and to get some information out there about the world's most loved plant and at the same time the world's most hated plant. After all, there are tens of thousands of people right now in the United States in prisons and jail all around the country and around the world for growing a plant and medically consuming a plant. So it is a topic that is sort of taboo in our culture, but is all around us, and it affects a lot of people. And here in the state of Washington, where I am, it is a legal thing like alcohol or anything else. So this show is dedicated to talking about it to get the information out there. And my name is Lucas Barfield, and I'm a cannabis writer and cannabis activist right here in Washington State. So it's kind of something I do for a living. So I just kind of want to get the information out there. And thanks for tuning in. And it is fall. And hopefully you got your plants in by now. If you were a medical cannabis patient, you were growing outdoors. We did have a reprieve from the weather there at the end of the, around the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th of October. So it was a little cool, but we did get some sunshine and it wasn't that moist. So the main threat, which is mold, or rot of your flowers during that time, was averted. So hopefully everybody was able to get their harvest in and is curing and drying your cannabis right now. So we're going to get right into the headlines. And if you want to follow me on Twitter and what we're doing at the Cannabis Corner and what I'm doing with some other things around cannabis, you can go to Twitter and follow us at MJIsMedicine. And you can use that same tagline there and find us on Facebook as well. So first up, our first story is the ACLU is suing a sheriff department in Georgia over arresting some people and charging them with marijuana DUI. And the way this worked was they arrested three people. Guess what? They're black, and the theme of this story is going to be around the racist policies of marijuana prohibition. So I didn't mean for it to be that way, but it kind of has turned out that way. So he arrested three people. You know, 99% sure they were black, or of some other race or the ethnicity than white, and they were arrested and held in jail and forced to give their blood because a police officer had a hunch. And so if you don't know the way they usually do this, because they can't, it's not like alcohol where you can smell it. You know, you can take an edible or smoke or vaporize cannabis and it'll brush your teeth a little while later and the odor will go away. So they have these officers that are supposedly trained to be able to spot people that are high on marijuana. And this is real difficult because this is a shady area because you can't really tell. I mean, a lot of people that I know that are cannabis users, unless they use an extraordinary amount, you just won't notice. And so it doesn't impair people that are using cannabis medically. And so this is a really slippery slope when you start using blood levels, then you force people to give blood. A bad thing to begin with, but to you, some of these levels are off to begin with. I mean, how many nanograms of THC metabolite can you have in your blood before you're impaired? This is a ongoing question. And in Georgia, the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, sued the Georgia Sheriff's Department over this, and hopefully these people can get their Fourth Amendment rights back, because that's what the lawsuit is saying. It's saying these people's right to be secure in their person and not have their effects searched was violated when they forcibly took the blood. Again, on an officer's hunch. Oh, well, they're smoking marijuana. So that's going on in Georgia. And next up, we're going to be moving up north, and we'll be back to Georgia here in a minute. But next, we're moving up to Massachusetts. Now, if you didn't know that Massachusetts just legalized cannabis or marijuana for recreational use, and they had decriminalized it back in 2009, I think, and they recently, the FBI put some studies together or looked at some aggregate data, and they found that, guess what? Even though arrests are down, they went from in the thousands down to like 545 last year. They are still predominantly African American. So for possession, African Americans were 28.9% of the arrest, even though they only make up 8.2% of the state population of Massachusetts. 28% and some change were arrested for the possession. Now that's just absurd. I mean, that is such a big disparity when it's shown that African Americans and whites use cannabis at the same rate. And that's four times the amount white people were arrested in Massachusetts for this. Now, growing, 42.2% were black arrested for growing and manufacturing. Again, even though the state population of African Americans is 8.2%. That one is even worse, and seven times more the arrest record of white people. So, you know, Massachusetts, in the media, they try to play off Massachusetts as a blue state or a very liberal state. But as it is in Washington, a lot of the Democrats back in the day were extremely racist. So the Democratic Party was George Wallace's party. So these entrenched racial things are still there. They're in the police departments. They target African Americans and minorities and poor whites, but as you can see, mostly African Americans, with cannabis laws. It's like a way to continue to terrorize minority communities and just to say, okay, we're here and we're going to keep busting you and taking your stuff and taking your car and taking your all your possessions and putting you in jail, and then you lose your home and your apartment, and by the way, your kids are going to suffer and you're going to be on welfare and you can't vote. And we're just going to keep hammering and hammering and hammering you. And they're basically just to keep you out of the economy. That's what it really boils down to. But we're kind of getting into some other issues here. But cannabis laws are used as a weapon to terrorize minority communities. And it is here in Washington. And obviously it is in Massachusetts. That's just the study just showed. So next up, we're going to go back to Georgia. And this is passed in a committee, I believe. But they are trying to pass a cannabis decriminalization bill in Atlanta. And this is, again, a big deal because we know, as we were talking about just now, that African Americans are way more likely to be arrested than whites for marijuana. And in Atlanta, here, let me check this stat out real quick. Hold on a second. Guess what? 92% of the marijuana arrests in Atlanta were black. And then I didn't get the year in that statistic, but it's probably every year. Did you know in Atlanta the Peachtree Streets? Did you know that was the code that the African Americans could not go past those streets? So just the FYI there, just sort of something on the side, that, you know, the racism in the South is still there, and the police use these marijuana laws to terrorize African American communities. And we can see with 92% of the arrests being in Atlanta being black, you can just see that's obvious. And so what they're trying to say is they're going to decriminalize it, but they're not really decriminalize it. Before, you could get 6 months in jail and $1,000 fine. Incredible. Now it'll just be no jail time, $75 ticket. But what they're doing here in Washington is, and they're probably doing it there too, I need to look more into this here in Washington, but they're arresting, they're giving all these people these fines and these tickets, and then when you can't pay them, then they're going to throw you in jail. And so that's really what's going on with these tickets. But, you know, $75 is not, you know, that, frankly, you shouldn't get any ticket walking around with some marijuana in your pocket. It should be like walking down the street with a six-pack of beer in your pocket, so, or in your grocery bag. But, you know, it is the South, so this is an improvement, $75 ticket. And so that is a big step forward in the South. Doesn't seem like it's much for us here in Washington, because we can walk around with an ounce and not get a ticket in our pocket. But here, you'd get a $75 ticket. But that's a big deal in the South. So Hats off to Atlanta, the committee. So hopefully that will go to the full council and they'll get that passed. So we're going to move on to our topic for this week. And this is going to be on a article that I just wrote for Cannabis Financial Network, cannabisfm.fn.com. If you'd like to go there and check this article out, I wrote. And so we're just going to talk about it real quick here on the Cannabis Corner. And again, you can follow me at MJ is Medicine and check out all our other shows right here on KTAH 101.9 on your FM dial right here in Tacoma. So what we have here for the topic today is what cannabis strains are good for pain. Now, number one, I like to say is I am not a doctor. I do have a master's degree, but it's not in medicine. So this is not meant to be any kind of medical advice. This is just me telling you the best research and information I have found on this topic. So it is your choice, anybody's choice to go out and use cannabis, and I will not be responsible for anybody using cannabis, and I am not suggesting that you do use cannabis if you have chronic pain, just that if you do choose that you are educated and you know what you're doing. So chronic pain is defined as pain that lasts for more than 12 weeks. So that can be broken bones, that can be arthritis, that can be cancer, that can be a surgery, that can be MS, that can be chronic pain is caused by fibromyalgia. You can get migraines, eye problems. You can have chiropractic issues give you chronic pain. So on and on and on it goes with chronic pain. I actually right now have some chronic pain in the neck from, I think, a sports injury. So chronic pain is real. A lot of back pain and chronic is a big form of chronic pain. Now, acute pain is more like it's like a sharp pain, like you've been stabbed, or it's really hard. It's a more powerful pain, and it's a indication of more immediate issues. So it's a difference. So if you break your bone, that's acute pain. It's now 10 months later from that, and your arm's aching every day. In it, but it's tolerable, that's chronic pain. And so cannabis has been shown to treat chronic pain. And the research is limited just because of the federal prohibition on research. But the research is out there, and it is a popular thing for people to use medical cannabis to treat chronic pain. Most states, their qualifying condition is chronic pain. Although in Florida, I know that has to be chronic pain related to one of their conditions. So if you broke your foot 10 years ago and your foot hurts every day because you're on your feet every day working, that would not qualify you for medical marijuana in Florida, although that is chronic pain, if that makes any sense. But so this is how this works. So medical cannabis or marijuana has chemical constituents in the form of oils that are produced on their flowers through metabolism. These oils include, among other cannabinoids like CBG, the main ones are CBD or cannabidiol or cannabidiol, depending on how you want to say it. The other one is tetrahydrocannabinol. And the next group of chemical constituents are the terpenes. So CBD and most chronic pain is caused from, a lot of chronic pain is caused from a lot, mostly some type of inflammation. So CBD does treat inflammation very well. And so CBD, high CBD strains are good for chronic pain. THC treats can help with inflammation, so high THC strains can help with chronic pain, although the CBD does help a little bit more than the THC. So if you have severe chronic pain, you probably want to kind of try to get more CBD than THC, but both will help. CBD is preferable because it doesn't really give you a high, so it doesn't give you that head change like a THC cannabis does. Now the next thing about cannabis, the chemical constituents, would be the terpenes. Now here we have this is my favorite part of cannabis. Here we have the cannabis smells. So this is all the different smells. So everybody complains, or a lot of people love it, but hear a lot of complaints about the smells. And so, and these are the molecules that give cannabis their smell. They're called terpenes. We talked about this before, I believe, in on the show a couple weeks back, I think. And so there are 7 or 8 terpenes in cannabis, but the ones that specifically help with inflammation and thus will help with pain are linalool, alpha-pinene, and caryophyllene. Now, just so happens is, so linalool has like a floral smell to it. Pinene is the alpha-pinene is like a pine smell, and caryophyllene has a woody, spicy smell. And so there are some strains that have those qualities that I'll just go real quick that I put in the article. There's a strain called Cannatonic. It's a high CBD, high linalool strain, and 2-to-1 CBD. So it has a high has a 12% CBD and 6% THC, and it has a high linalool content, so it helps with inflammation and will help you sleep. Another one is Blackberry Kush. Blackberry Kush is a high THC strain, but the main terpenes in this, and I did look these all up on actual a liquid spectrometer, whatever they call them, the test. I did look them up, and so these are accurate terpene levels. You can go and just Google the strain and the put terpene list and terpene test, and you can just bring these up and check these out yourself if you'd like to. But Blackberry Kush is high in linalool and next high in alpha-pinene and high in beta-caryophyllene. So Blackberry Kush is just an all-around good strain for pain. The next one I had on there was Granddaddy Purple. Granddaddy Purple is a great strain for pain. It is a high THC strain with high linalool and high alpha-pinene content. Next one up would be AC/DC. Put this one in there because it's a high CBD strain that has zero THC. So it's like a flip. They have bred the THC all the way down to the decimal points. And so it'd be like a 15% CBD and 0% THC, which so you could consume it, smoke it, vaporize it, however you want to do it, and you don't really get a high off of it. You do get the effects, but it doesn't give you a high. Now you do kind of feel something from it, but it's not, again, it's not the high. So AC/DC, and the last one I put on there was Jack Herer, and it is a very popular strain. It's been around for quite a long time, and it very potent and has a high alpha pinene content and caryophyllene content. So Jack Herer, and the good thing about Jack Herer is if you look it up, there are just strain after strain after strain of different plants that were bred from Jack Herer. So yeah, that's our topic for the day, just different strains. And just real quick, something else I wrote about in the article are the methods of application. So if you got strong acute pain or chronic pain that you really want to get rid of, vaporizing or smoking cannabis will give you quick relief. You get the best terpene effects from vaporizing, smoking cannabis. So if you really want to get those terpene effects, smoking cannabis is the best. Next up is topical. It's twice as much absorption in topical in cannabis, and you want to get those topicals, lotions, and salves. You want to get those right on the pain. So if you got a hurt knee, you want to get that salve and rub it right on your knee, and it will deliver the THC and the CBD right to the cells. I don't know much about the terpenes and topicals. Usually the terpenes are cooked off when activating for anything other than smoking, so probably not a lot of terpenes in the topicals, but you can get the CBD and the THC in there. So, and then the next one, of course, is edibles, and edibles are 5 times more absorbent than smoking cannabis. So if you really want the full effects of your cannabis, eat them or make baked goods, and they are best for chronic pain, like in your internal organs. If you're having problems with your stomach or your liver or your bowels or anything like that, though, you want to get the THC and the chemical constituent down into your gut. The object is to get the chemical constituents as close to the affected area as possible. So that is a little bit on how to use cannabis and some strains with chronic pain. Not just making stuff up. That's the real science going on there. You can check all that out yourself. Check out analytical360.com. That's where I got all those tests from. So if you any questions, hit me up at MJ is Medicine, and I can get you more information on this. This is one of the best reasons I'm into cannabis activism right now, is because I'm really trying to get the word out that this is an actual scientific pursuit, and you can use science to use cannabis. And so it will improve your experience using it, and it really will help you feel empowered to treat medical conditions with this very powerful plant. So, hey, and then we're going to get out of here. It's a bus, our final segment of the day. And I didn't really do a whole lot of research on this, but I think just the one thing I'm about to say kind of speaks for itself. It's a bust. Central Washington, just the other day, last week, I'm going to leave with this with you. It really has me sort of flabbergasted and taken aback how this is even possible. They found 20 tons of cannabis and all kind of legal chemicals and gross stuff going on in Central Washington. 20 tons, 41,000 pounds of cannabis over there. They found it, busted the fuck. So that is incredible. I don't really know what to say about that. I say get those people and get them out there growing cannabis for the state of Washington to cure our opiate epidemic. Don't throw them in prison. So, yeah, it's a bust. And thanks for tuning in. Check us out at MJ is Medicine. And this is KTAH 101.9 FM right here in Tacoma. Thanks.